Hi, my name is Mallory. I'm an alcoholic. So Robin's my sponsor, and she was like, I'm really nervous about speaking. And I was like, no, you'll do fine. Like, why would you be nervous about speaking? And then 10 minutes ago, Mark asked me to speak, and I was like, no way. Like, I'm way too nervous. So here I am in front of you all, which is probably like a God thing, because I'm kind of in a terrible mood right now. I'm in the middle of my fifth step, and just has a way of like making you feel not great about yourself. But I know that on the other side there's this like just like weight off my shoulders, so I'm just, you know, trucking through. So what it was like, I was a shithead. Sorry, I don't think we're allowed to curse. I grew up in like what I thought at the time was a relatively like normal childhood. You know, my mom would drink out of this really fancy glass bottle every night, and I was like, why can't I drink that? And she would say, because this is an adult drink. There were adult beverages and there were Mallory beverages. And I remember like being six. My parents went to a lot of football games and would tailgate, and my mom would be making Jell-O shots, and I didn't know what she put in the Jell-O shots, but there were adult Jell-O shots and there were Mallory Jell-O shots. And you know, when all the adults would take their Jell-O shots, I would run to the fridge and grab my little Mallory Jell-O shot and do it with them. And I thought that was like totally cool. You know, I didn't know what the hell a Jell-O shot was. We're all doing shots of Jell-O. Why can't we just eat it with a spoon? And I don't know, it was really normal to me. Looking back on it, I mean, it's not really my place to say, but alcohol has always been something my family has centered around. And at some point, probably when I was like in middle school, was when I realized that my mom, there were like two different moms in my life. There was the mom who was strict and told me to do my homework and punished me and, you know, did normal mom things. And then there was the mom who was fun and who would let me stay up late and who would buy me stuff on her binges. And just, there was the fun mom, and then there was like the mom that I needed but didn't want. And my mom's a really big part of my story. I held a lot of resentments against her for a long time. I mean, she was kind of like who I didn't know anything about alcoholism, you know, like I just thought that was how normal people drank. But I also didn't know anything about being sober. I had never had a sober, like role model in my whole life. So when I started asking myself 3 years ago if I was an alcoholic, I didn't have anything to base it off of. And I think part of it was, not that I didn't have anything to base it off of, I had my mom, but I didn't have anybody sober in my life to be able to say, look at what they did and look at where they're at now. So in my head, being sober wasn't an option because I didn't think it was even achievable. I thought that the only people who were alcoholics was, you know, the guy under the bridge drinking out of a paper bag. And when I got to college, I didn't really think that I was being all that crazy. Sorry, I'm kind of blanking. I'm nervous. I just don't know what to talk about. I don't know. When I got to college, I didn't think I was being all that crazy, but I realized that I was constantly outside of myself. I was avoiding my parents at all costs. Something that I've actually been thinking about recently is I have one remaining grandparent, and my dad, when I was a freshman, would always tell me to call him, like, once a week. He was like, I need you to call Papa and just say hello. Like, you don't have to have a long conversation. And I was so afraid to call him, and looking back on it, like, I don't think I wanted him to know, like, what I was turning into. Because, you know, I was an A-plus student at lying, but there was, like, something about the specialness of that relationship that I didn't want to lie in. And, like, that's always been a big thing for me, is keeping up appearances. And, like, you know, I don't look like your average alcoholic drug addict. I mean, with this voice and, like, this demeanor, like, I mean, what's the worst I can do, right? Like, steal your candy? I don't know. You're probably going to steal my candy. So, like, I used that a lot. I used that to get away with a lot of stuff. I used my outward appearance of innocence to just be a selfish bitch. And I took from everybody around me. Like, even if you had nothing to give, I was going to find something to take. So I guess now we're kind of into, like, how I got here. I got here because I didn't want to die. I had wanted to die for a really long time. You know, I had a couple of suicide attempts. And my parents, so my first, like, real suicide attempt, my parents were like, you know, we think our daughter's depressed. I'm like, no shit, Sherlock. How long did it take you to figure that one out? And it was like my whole life my mom would tell me, if you put your mind to it, you can do it. And, like, it's really inspiring, right? But, like, she just thought that it was a thing of mind over matter. She thought I could, like, think myself out of being sad and wanting to lay in bed all the time. 10 minutes? 10 whole minutes? Okay. And so I kind of, like, told myself that my depression wasn't real. I told myself that, you know, my drinking problem wasn't real. It was just a coping mechanism that I had learned from her, from everybody around me. My parents belonged to, like, a really big social circle. And so I just thought that everything was completely normal, that I didn't understand why I couldn't handle it the way everybody else could. You know, I was always the girl, like, I was just tired of blacking out and waking up in the morning going, feeling that shame, which is, like, something a lot of people identify with, I'm sure. But I remember waking up in college one morning and wanting to call my mom and ask her if this feeling was normal, but I was afraid to because I didn't want her to think that, like, I was judging her, that I'm always, I don't know. It's like, as much resentment as I have against my mom, I'm always, like, walking on eggshells around her because I don't want her to feel disrespected. But, like, I disrespected her a lot by blaming her for a lot of things that weren't her fault. And that's probably, like, one of the hardest relationships that I'm rebuilding right now. When I got sober again this time, I was, I had detoxed in a friend's bed for 3 days by myself. And she called me, and she was like, I'm in Dallas right now. I'm flying into Tampa tonight. I was living in Boca Raton at the time, by the way. I moved down to Boca in 2012 to go to college. Side note. And she was like, do you want me to change my flight? I'll fly into Fort Lauderdale. I'll come and pick you up. And I had left my halfway house, like, a month prior. I had been to rehab twice in the span of 3 months. And, you know, my life wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't doing anything. And I had no desire to do anything except to numb everything out. I was so sick of myself. And I was so sick of everyone else telling me how sick of me they were. So I kind of, like, I wavered on the phone. My mom is trying to, like, be really encouraging. And she goes, she told me, Mallory, the first time that you were in rehab, you know, you told us that you wished we had noticed the signs and, like, sent you to rehab earlier. They didn't even know I had gone to rehab until, like, 3 days into it. It was a therapist who'd put me in. And so, you know, adding to the resentments, I was resentful towards them for not seeing the signs and not realizing that like my life was spiraling out of control when I was in the pilot seat. And she said, do you want me to take control and make the decision that you know you can't make right now? And I said, yes. And that was all it took. And that's how I got here. And this is my fourth time getting sober. This is the most days I've ever had. It's not the furthest in my steps I've ever been, but it's the most honest I've ever been. I have the best sponsor I've ever had. But I think, you know, most importantly, and it's so cheesy, because when I learned I was going to be speaking, I was like, what can I say that makes me different? Like, I want to be a snowflake. I want to be the speaker that everybody remembers. But really, like, I'm not any different, because my solution is the same as everybody else's, and that's I found a higher power. I used to kind of laugh at people who talked about how they would pray and, like, that would make them feel better. That's what I do now. I pray and it makes me feel better, because going back to a drink sure is how it won't. And even though, like, I was in a terrible mood and Mark told me that I would feel better after I spoke and I told him, no, I wouldn't. And I do feel better because I'm filled with gratitude, you know, for everybody in this room and all the people in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And something that I, like, pray to my higher power about a lot is how thankful I am that no matter how many times I turned my back on him and no matter how many times I disregarded him and acted like he wasn't there, he was always there. And, like, there's even times in sobriety where I don't act the way I should. I don't pray as much as I should. I don't live up to the values that I want to be so strong in. But no matter what, like, I know that when I sit down and I bow my head and I close my eyes, I know that he's always up there listening and he's always going to help me figure it out. Because in the end, like, I don't know shit. And that's why I'm here. That's all.